WGXE Acra, 90.7 on your dial. Also online at wavefarm.org/WGXE.
Hey, all you faithful WGXE listeners. This is Cowboy Kurt with Ghosty Girl.
Hey.
Don't forget to listen to the Coyote Ghost Radio Show, the second and fourth Monday of each month from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m.
Got some good music coming up.
We play Americana, roots rock, alt country, iconic rock, and sometimes go into the ditch and play crazy stuff. So turn up your radio and sit back and listen.
Gentlemen, people of the internet.
What are you doing?
I'm taking your intro once again.
No. You also said internet.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't correct.
Hello, universe. Ladies and gentlemen, people of the universe. We are the Game Hoarders, and just like every Thursday, we're invading your airwaves, except slightly differently this time because the aux wasn't working, and also Calvin doesn't know how the intro works.
Yeah, so we had Kens do the thing, go on the board today. And
it worked really well.
Yes.
Until the aux decided to be like, LOL, no.
Guys, it worked really well until we actually had to start doing
stuff
with
it. We had to start the show, and then our technology was like, never mind.
The thing is, everything else was fine. It wasn't her fault.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
The auxiliary was literally just broken.
Guys,
The thing is, we have to point out, though, if Jacob was on the board and that happened, we would have blamed him.
Oh, yeah.
So, since Kenzie was on the board and that happened, despite the fact that we know for a fact it wasn't her fault, Kenz, it's all your fault.
Yeah, and that's kind of how like our scapegoating works, dude.
That's true. You were in closest proximity to the thing that broke. Must have been you.
Yeah.
Battlefield rules, you were there.
Oh, God. So, anyway, we've got some stuff on the docket for today. First of all, Core Set 2019 is completely spoiled, but we talked about all the cards in that mattered last week. So, if Dom, who is never here because he's a plebe, wants to say a couple words about it, he can. Otherwise, yeah. For those of you who don't religiously follow everything he does like I do, Scott Cawthon released a new game yesterday. Send help.
Oh, no.
Tell us about
There's like 30 of these games.
Real quick, Owen,
stop.
Is this just like the theme of the season? Is just add every game you have into one game.
Yes.
And re-release.
Yeah. So, speaking of that, Smash Bros. Ultimate. But doesn't have Waluigi, so really what's the point?
It's got him as a Smash trophy where they immediately showed him getting KO'd.
Doesn't count. but yeah, so that'll be a good segue. So, as many of you know, because we did talk about it briefly a couple episodes ago, Smash Bros. Ultimate is being released in the pretty near future for the Nintendo Switch, and it is going to have every character that has ever been in a Smash game. Seeing how amazing the turnout for that was after it was announced at E3, Scott Cawthon was like, I can do that. And gave us FNAF Ultimate Custom Night.
He gave us hell.
So, yes. So, for those of you who aren't super familiar with Five Nights at Freddy's, it is a game where you sit in an office.
That's it. That's the whole game.
Yeah.
You just sit in an office.
And then you develop anxiety.
Yeah. So you sit in an office, and there are killer animatronic robots that run around through the building you're in. And your job is to make it so they don't kill you. Now, and like, the game's called Five Nights at Freddy's. It's actually literally always Seven Nights, but we don't need to talk about
that. I don't
that.
Know if anyone's, like, yeah. never not heard of this.
Yeah,
like,
but so...
Everyone's heard of this.
Well, yeah, it was a meme for a while, so most people know about it.
Yeah.
But so, it'll start off pretty easy. You'll have, like, one dude coming at you. You can literally just, like, close the door at the beginning of the night, and you're fine. Then there's more.
A lot more.
And more. And more.
And then they just kept coming.
And it gets
games.
To the point where you can't actually look away from a door without closing that door, lest you be murdered by a giant animatronic bear.
Also, real quick, Kenzie, you can fight me. You started really playing video games like last year. You missed The Last of Us. Everybody talked about those memes. Like, really got into it.
Stop.
Oh,
anyway,
fight me.
So, the first FNAF came out way back in the before times of 2015.
Oh my Ooh. God, it was 20
Actually, it was
years. Yeah, it was 14.
Yeah,
20
back
years.
In so, approximately 4 months later, Five Nights at Freddy's 2 came out, which was like Five Nights at Freddy's 1, but with more than twice as many robots coming
and
out
less here. Doors.
Yes, and exactly
no,
zero.
No
doors.
Doors.
And a
yeah,
mask.
Vents though.
No doors.
Few months after that, we got Five Nights at Freddy's 3, which only had one animatronic. However, that animatronic is by far the scariest one in the series. His name is Springtrap, and he makes me uncomfortable. He haunts my nightmares.
Also, plus anyways, this man casually jogs around the building by himself. He's like, I am everywhere at
but
once.
But also he has ghosts that attack you, which is not fun.
Yeah, exactly, because lack of oxygen.
Following that, there was FNAF 4, the final chapter... Oh, you. If you thought that was the last game. Oh, no.
It was
so,
a trap.
FNAF 4 was very similar to FNAF 1 with two very big distinctive differences. One, you could move kind
Whoa.
Of between the areas in your own room, but no more than that. And all of the animatronics had approximately six great white sharks worth of additional teeth.
Aren't you, like, in a house this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in
this
a
time
small,
you're a small child.
Yeah, you're in a small child's bedroom being attacked by your actual literal nightmares.
Yeah, and what's
like
it?
There is.
Yeah.
And you can boop its nose, and it goes...
Yeah, and what's it called? What was it? The first one's in a pizzeria, second one's in a
the
pizzeria.
The first one's in a pizzeria. The second one is in the same pizzeria, but earlier.
Yeah,
the
and
third,
a third
one
is
in a haunted house that was made with remnants that were stolen from the earth.
Which
Who
were like
that was a good
which
idea?
Which were like 40 plus years after.
Yeah. Yeah, the game takes place in I think 20,
How long did
20,
this man
20
work
something.
On this
yeah.
Yes.
Fourth is
then fourth takes place in a small child's bedroom.
There's
where you were attacked by actual nightmares.
It's kind of murky on the details when that takes place. Everybody says it's just like you're the bite victim of...
It takes place in 1983.
Yeah.
This is canon. This is canon knowledge.
Oh, they made it canon?
Scott
okay, cool.
Full on came out and was like, the game's in 1983.
Okay, cool.
Please, game theory, make something that makes sense. Then FNAF World came out, which we don't need to talk about because it's FNAF World. Then Five Nights at Freddy's sister location came out, and this one
is a good one.
Was
cool.
A whole deviation.
That was cool.
The game was more story-driven than any other game.
Nice.
Characters actually talk, like, all the time.
Creepy animatronic girl was pretty pretty cool and scary. That was, like, well
there
done.
Was a lot in it. Personally, in terms of just, like, coolness, it's my favorite game in the series. My actual favorite is FNAF 3, because Springtrap is awesome, but...
I think mine's probably Sister Location, just because, like...
Because it's just awesome. Well, and also because I love the voice actor.
That's what
Fun
I mean.
Time Freddy. Specifically and, Funtime Freddy, because Kellen Goff is 10 out of 10.
I liked him and the, what's it called? The
Circus Baby.
Yeah, Circus Baby.
Yeah.
Because it gave, like, it went from just being a jump scare machine to kind of like
story-driven jump scare machine.
Well, like also with like the kind of like quiet horror, like hearing things move around and that.
So Sister Location was cool for that, and then Sister Location had a bunch of secret stuff that you could find. One of them basically just let you play the first game again, and that's how you get like the true ending of the game. And then there was Freddy Fazbear's Pizza Simulator,
which was actually pretty good.
Which was a pizza tycoon game, but also was a Five Nights at Freddy's game, with you still having to avoid dying at the hands of animatronics. So there's one thing all of these games, with the exception of Five Nights at Freddy's 6, or Pizzeria Simulator, have in common, is that they have a function in them called Custom Night, where basically you go into a menu and you get to choose the difficulty of all of the animatronics that you have to fend off. And they can be set anywhere from 0, which is they literally don't even show up, to 20, which is they show up every 12 seconds. Now, there were originally 4 animatronics in the game. With only 4 in the game, it wasn't super hard.
You know what's funny is he actually thought it was Scott, who made the game, said it was impossible. Thought it was impossible.
He didn't say it was impossible. He said thought it was nearly impossible. Because he himself did beat it.
Okay, seems right.
Because literally, he gauges whether it can be beaten by his ability to play the game. Because he designed the game, he knows all the tips and tricks.
Yeah, he knows all the secrets.
Yeah. The only one that he released without he himself being able to beat the full everyone on 20 power custom night was the custom night of Sister Location.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The only reason... And then, like, 3 weeks later, he was like, We're gonna make it so it's possible to beat this, because there's a cutscene that I put in here that I really want the game theorists to see.
Yeah, what's it called? If I remember right, there was the timing on a couple of the animatronics.
He didn't change the timing on the animatronics. So basically what happened was you could fend all of them off. However, you couldn't, and the only reason you couldn't was because you would always run out of power.
Oh, that's
so
what it was,
yeah.
So the
way he made it so you could beat it was he made it so all of the hours of the night took only 40 seconds, rather than the one full minute that they took usually. And that was what made it beatable. So anyway, fast forward to literally yesterday, where Ultimate Custom Night was released. Custom Night is like the normal Custom Nights, with one very large difference. It has almost every animatronic that's ever been in the game. Not only every animatronic, there's also some random things that aren't animatronics. The phone guy's an enemy you have to face.
Because he keeps calling at the worst times.
You have to, you have to deal with glitches. A little mini game that pops up, like one from the glitch ending of Five Nights at Freddy's World, which was awful. And basically he'll like pop up and you have to play a little mini game and catch a fish for him. And if you fail to catch the fish, he locks you out of your monitor so you can't see what's going on.
I only have the image, where's my fish?
So in total, in this new game, there are 50 animatronics. The record I have lasted with all 50 animatronics set to max difficulty of 20 is 17 and a half seconds.
I witnessed it. Because it was quite glorious.
One full playthrough of the game takes 4.5 minutes. I lasted 17 seconds.
And the thing is he's beaten all the other games on all of the hardest difficulties.
Every single Five Nights at Freddy's game on maximum difficulty. I'm going to do it for this one.
I believe
I don't know how long it'll take. I've currently logged 10 hours on the game.
Seems legit. Oh yeah,
most of those hours have been spent waiting for it because the more animatronics you turn on, the longer the game takes to load. So if you have them all on, it takes a hot minute.
2 hours later.
No, it takes like probably 30 seconds. But
I know, it just sounds funny.
The 2 seconds it used to takes for the other games.
Question though, does this one actually have a story?
I don't know. So there's a couple things that happen. So
anime.
So a lot of the every single animatronic that possesses the ability to kill you, because there are some that can't kill you that are just meant to like distract you and stuff.
Oh yeah.
But like every single one that can actually kill you has dialogue when it kills you. The original ones just, like, say stuff about a pizzeria, obviously. The toy animatronics from FNAF 2, they say some weird stuff. The nightmare animatronics say a lot of scary things. For example, Golden Fredbear said... What did he say exactly? He said, "I believe the fear isn't just an illusion this time," which sounds very lore-intensive.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also things. So there are thresholds in the game that you can unlock for beating the game on specific difficulties.
With specific animatronics.
Yeah, so for every point of difficulty you put onto any animatronic, it counts as a score of 10. So 1 on 20 equals 200. And for 2,000, 4,000, 6,000, and 8,000, and I assume also 10,000, because that would be all of them on 20, but
yeah.
Don't want to deal with that yet. You unlock an office, a new office, just completely aesthetic that doesn't actually change any difference of how the game plays. However, between those, there are cutscenes. I've only unlocked one of these cutscenes so far. Everyone in the room saw it. Where basically, it switched the FNAF aesthetic a lot.
that was the weirdest thing ever.
It was actually awesome. But so basically, it turned into like one of those old-fashioned samurai films that are really bad, but I watch them because they're my guilty pleasure. Except that the protagonist was Freddy Fazbear, and the antagonist was Foxy from Pirate's Cove. Two of the animatronics from the game. And one thing I noticed, and I haven't attempted to translate it because this occurred a good not very long ago. However, I noticed on a couple of the things, for the small amount of Japanese that I can speak and understand, there were parts where what was being said, because all the dialogue was in Japanese and it had English subtitles, but there were parts I noticed where the dialogue being said in Japanese did not match the subtitles. Which means to tell me that there's some hidden lore in there.
Yeah.
And I need to find it.
It's
very important to me that I find it.
Another one that I saw, because I look up a bunch of stuff online as soon as I heard the FNAF thing happen. And one of them is Chica going to school, like a high school.
Oh, no.
and the best part is she's like, if I remember it right, this thing's like, I only saw like a couple minutes of video, and it's her being a yandere for oh my god, the puppet.
Oh no.
It's so amazing.
I feel like he just like went on to like
fanfic.
He went on to Archive of Our Own,
yeah,
and found some random FNAF fanfics and was like, we're gonna put these into my game.
Confirmed.
But I think so. One of the funniest things that occurred was I was killed by Mr. Hippo, one of the Mediocre Melodies crew. Who are discount versions of all of the all of the FNAF animatronics. But Mr. Hippo, I don't know if this happens every time, he's only killed me once. But when he killed me, it went into this big like noir thing.
Oh yeah.
Where
yeah.
He's giving you this big story about a conversation he had with his friend Orville Elephant during a picnic. And then at the end of it he goes, they're like saying, what does any of the things we're talking about right now mean? And at the end, he's just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't mean anything at all. So I'm like, tell me I just listened to all of this hoping for lore, and you looked at me and were like, LOL, you've been trolled.
Yeah, yeah. The worst part is like, my first thought just goes to that because in a couple fighting games, there's a fighter who does the same thing where he's like, long, drawn-out story, and then the opponent's just like, what does that have to do with anything? Oh, nothing. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. Oh, what's it called?
But yeah, so I'm likely going to talk a little more about this game as I progress further into it and get more extra spicy cutscenes to talk about.
We'll make sure to give you guys the hookup on that.
The lowdown. Oh, boy.
What's it called? Did you guys talk about Smash? We need to talk.
We did a bit.
Okay, cool. So let's like talk about the Scum Lords who got announced besides like the normal ones, because everybody's in it.
Let me smash.
Let me think. One of the ones that got confirmed that everybody's super super hype over is Redley.
So he is the only character so far confirmed for the game who has never been in a game before. He's the only new one.
Oh, wait, no, there's one more. Inkling. They confirmed her.
Inkling doesn't know.
Oh, my God.
Inkling is from Splatoon. I forgot about that, actually. So Inkling and Ridley. So Inkling from Splatoon.
Splatoon. Yeah, I was like, anybody who has a Wii U, pretty much, or whatever it is now, Switch, can, like, say they've seen Splatoon.
I've played Splatoon.
It's fun.
You're playing, now you're a kid, now you're a Squid.
Yeah, exactly. what's it called? Ridley, they said for a real long time that he was too big for it, so they just downsized his model and
look at him and were like, you are normally the size of, like, a planet, so we're going to make you the size of Bayonetta.
Yeah, they like, scooped him and downsized him. What's it called? He's got a lot of air mobility. They're making the game more fighting, like, actual fighting game heavy, opposed to the kind of group party thing.
Except that's a lie, because it's still entirely a party game.
Yeah, it is, but I just mean, like, they're giving the try. Ridley's, like, a real hard hitter with good reach, but because he's got a real large model still, it means comboing him is the easiest thing in the game.
Yeah, he is, he's gonna be, his hitbox is gonna be basically, like, the size of the screen. Fighting him in Final Destination is gonna be the easiest thing ever, and since that's where all actual Smash tournaments, they're required to take place on Final Destination,
makes it real easy.
Yeah.
Inkling
has some teleportation things and the ability to shoot ink.
So their main mechanic is going to be like their ink, just like in their actual game. They've got like a little gauge for it, and they can cover enemies in ink. The more ink they have on an enemy, they actually do more damage and more knockback. And
they can also activate squid form and skirt through ink that's left on the stage.
Yeah, their dash becomes becomes low profile when they're on their own ink,
because they turn into a squid and then just dive through the ink.
Oh yeah, and another one is their smash attacks, because they use ink. Hits really, really hard. I'm trying to remember.
Those are the new guys.
Yeah, like those are the big ones for the new guys.
However, there's some old guys.
Oh yeah,
and there's a lot of old guys.
Kept you waiting.
Let's do a quick run through. We have, returning for the first time since Brawl,
Snake.
Your boy, Snake.
Snake.
We have Solid Snake from Metal Gear Solid. We have Wolf O'Donnell from
my bro.
Star Fox, who has been my main since he was originally put into Brawl.
Pichu,
the little baby version of Pikachu, who is much better at being a character in the game than Pikachu is. I'm sorry, Pikachu, but it's a fact.
Child is better. Real quick, nothing on that actually. They changed how it's called Shotos in fighting game community. They're like copy characters with small differences. They've embraced it and called them Echoes now.
Yes.
And now I can't handle. Let me think. I love how Dr. Mario is still not an Echo, but he's in the game. Let me think. Oh, big ones that I know are coming back. Bayonetta, her one hit her zero death combo is gone because yes.
It's been unpull-offable since like 2 weeks. After
yeah, but they actually increased the recovery frames on that still more. What's it called? Link. They made some modifications to Link in Zelda.
There's so many Links. First of all, there's like 5 Links in the game.
Toon, Kid,
Normal.
Yeah.
And Breath of the Wild Link, I believe, is a different.
Yeah, he's an art. He's a he's based on normal, but I think he's just a different.
No, because he has way different attacks.
Oh yeah,
he fights with a bow.
Oh yeah, you're probably
he
right.
He spends the whole time fighting with a bow. But yeah, that's important. Zelda and Sheik are back, obviously.
They all have updated art, which means Zelda's less like angry. She's more of a young chick now. Link's officially like fanboy again.
What a guy. Peach is coming back. Peach, the most important change they've made to Smash Bros. In the older games, Peach's block was her holding up a toad as a human shield. Now, when she blocks, she, like, steps back a little and cowers in fear, and Toad, like, jumps forward and is like, fight me!
Oh, his Aww. Grab...
And gets turned to dust.
Dude, her grab, if you grab somebody, she'll hold them in, and Toad goes to town on them. It's amazing.
Yes. So Toad is now an important character.
If I remember right, Daisy is an Echo, too.
Yes.
What's it called? We've got all the normal, like all the people from the last game are in there.
Yeah,
too.
We have all the Koopalings, which are all actually just echoes of Bowser Jr.
Yeah.
We have all the Pikmins.
I'm hype. What's it called?
We have Bowser.
They did modify some like screen data and moves. And what's it called? How much time we got, huh, Calvin?
None. We're just literally about out.
Okay, there you go. We'll talk about it next time.
We are just about out of time, so for all of us here at the Game Hoarders, we will see you all next week. Well, Calvin won't, when we are invading your airwaves.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
See you guys in a month. Bye.
Months.